Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Last week we finished chapter 14, started 15, which is a lead up to what's called the bowls of wrath. Human history will end at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period when God pours his bowls of wrath of God on the earth. And the last bowl is actually a complete crustal breakup of the earth and things falling from space down onto the earth. It'll be a meteor shower that just pummels people on the earth. And we're going to see that then Jesus returns and puts a stop to the Battle of Armageddon. And that's going to happen in chapter 19. But we had Jesus opening the seals of the scroll, seven seals. The seventh seal started the seven trumpet judgments, which were the first warning of God, judgment. You know, the judgment of God was coming against the kingdom of the Antichrist, but people wouldn't repent. And so then we've seen parenthetical chapters between the trumpet judgments and the bowls of wrath judgment. But today we're going to get into the bowls of wrath. People didn't repent because of the trumpets. God ramps up, and the bowls of wrath judgment come upon the earth like the world is. Jesus said, like the world is never seen. A time of trouble that the world has never seen is where we're headed today. But picking up in chapter 15, verse 1, we covered the first four verses last week, but to do a little review. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. We're going to see these are the angels that are going to deliver to the earth the wrath of God that are in the bowls of wrath. For in them, in these last plagues, the wrath of God is complete. Well, when did the wrath of God start? The wrath of God started in Revelation chapter 6 when Jesus started popping the seals of the scroll that were unleashing that wrath, which we're not going to repeat all the stuff of the seals of the scroll. And then the seventh seal unleashed the trumpet judgment wrath of God. And now we're going to see that even though the seventh trumpet was in chapter 11, all these parenthetical chapters, that seventh trumpet is going to initiate the seven bowls of wrath. So now when it's all over, God's wrath is done. Because he's going to come, he's going to deal with the people that were on earth that were rebelling against him, as we're going to see. And then he's going to set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to create the new heaven and new earth for the final eternal condition of those who believe in him, and the final condition of those who rejected him. The final condition of those who rejected him is going to be the lake of fire after being judged for their works. And the final condition for us is going to be everlasting life in a place called the new heaven and the new earth, where righteousness dwells. And why? Because we said, God, forgive me a sinner. And I want my heart to be your heart. I want your way to be my way. I want to receive your offer of forgiveness, and I recognize and repent of my sin against you and my rebellion against you. So heaven's going to be loaded with a whole bunch of people that by their own desires said, God, I want you to be God, which he should be, right? Since he is, he created us. But most people are going to end up in the lake of fire because they shake their fist at God and said, you're not going to rule my life. And we see that today. Verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, which is the Antichrist, he saw the people that had the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. Why? Because they refused to take the mark and they got physically killed, but in doing so, of being physically killed for refusing to worship the Antichrist, they have everlasting life in heaven, which is better. Saving your temporary life or gaining everlasting life and having victory over this future, global despot tyrant who says, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to kill you. And then people say, go ahead, because I'd rather have life with Jesus forever than to save my skin by taking your mark and worshiping your image today and only living until I die. And then I stand before God condemned because I worshiped a man instead of my creator. But most people are going to worship the Antichrist. But some are going to have victory over the beast. And they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. Saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Would we all say that? Would we all agree just and true are God's ways? His ways are perfect. His laws are good. That's what the saints sing. is that we overcame. It's just like the Song of Moses when God parted the Red Sea and let the Jews go through. And then when Pharaoh tried to kill them all, he closed the Red Sea on them. And then Moses looked back and he says, God, you know, and just praise God for his victory over the Pharaoh, over Pharaoh, the enemies of God, the demoniac who was wanting to kill the Jews. He praised God. And we're going to be doing that too in heaven. Everybody's going to be praising God that he safely delivered us to heaven. Verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. So I want to emphasize, and the reason I wanted to go over this is this number, you know, verse 4, first five words. Who shall not fear you? Well, that's been on full display this week. As for those that have followed the news, and there is a handout on the table about this Equity Act, equity law. So what's the answer? Well, we do fear God. Everybody who's going into heaven, we fear God. With a healthy fear. It's not like, man, I wish I could get away with everything, except he's going to beat me up if I do. No. We go, man, you're a creator. I've been rebelling against you. And we then want to have a healthy fear like we would care about our parents who are wanting us to not sneak out and steal at night. We go, you know what? That's reasonable. I that is a good idea that I don't go do drugs. I don't chase around in the middle of the night and do stuff that I used to do in rebellion to my parents because he's our creator. And so we fear him with a healthy fear. But this is an article that I read about this Equality Act, which was debated in the House this week, and the House passed this bill. And this is the most egregious, in-your-face-to-God bill ever, ever debated on the floors of Congress in this country. And this article was, God's will is no concern of this Congress. Top Democrat Nadler derides God. And it was February 26, 2021, just a couple days ago. And it was the gatewaypundit.com. And I'm going to read a little bit of what happened in this bill. On Thursday, Representative Greg Strube, Republican from Florida, and forgive me, Greg, if I got your last name wrong, spoke on House floor about God's will and a nation in rebellion against God. Praise Jesus for the people that are in serving in places of leadership in the legislatures, school boards, everything else that are bold enough to say, you're violating God's law. Warning. That's what our mission is, to tell people, it isn't your opinion how this goes. You're either fighting God and rebelling against him, or you're in harmony with him. If you're in harmony with him, good things happen. When you're rebelling against him, bad things are going to happen. So we had a representative from Florida that confronted the evil that was in the Congress this week. During the debate yesterday over the Equality Act, a measure that would create a right to kill babies in abortions and force Americans to fund abortions, Republicans accused Democrats of ignoring biblical values. And a surprising comment from pro-abortion Democrat Congressman Jerry Nadler confirmed that to be true. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. You know, turn there while I'm continuing to read this. Because we'll read what God says about killing your children. We'll see what he says. And then I'm going to ask for everybody to say, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that enough to vote according to that, to communicate according to that, to warn according to that? Because if you don't, then you're one of those who shall not fear God. Because I fear God, and I was, you know, I was a deceived pagan kid. In 1973, when the Roe v. Wade came down, and I became a Christian, and I still thought abortion was okay because of the talking points of the lies that was spread during that time. And then when some Christians told me, Kevin, this is what the Bible says, life begins in the womb, this and this, and then instantly, okay, because the Holy Spirit in me was saying, you know, the Word of God, is Jesus your Lord? Yes. Then what he says goes, yes, I have just, boom, changed my mind. And I'm going to be an advocate of life instead of death and listen to the deceptions of death. So, but I was deceived like everybody else. And So we're going to read Leviticus 20 here in a minute. Well, let's read it right now because you had time. 20 verse 1 through 5, not in your notes. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel. Now, strangers who sojourn in Israel were people who said, I want to leave the Moabites, the Ammonites, the different people in the different nations, and I want to come and live under your God. I want to come. When you came to Israel, you came to immigrate so that you could be under the authority and the laws of Israel. And who gives any of his descendants to Molech. Molech were one of the gods of the nations around them, who we know from history, they would make an image of Molech, and behind every image, every idolatrous image is a demon, according to scriptures in several places. So Satan inspires people to worship these idols, and it was a fertility idol. And so then they would deliver their children to Molech. They'd be born, and then they would lay them in the hands of Molech, who had been heated up in a fire, and they would dedicate their children to Molech. Any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against the man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against the man and against his family and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. So now, does that apply to America? No, we don't kill abortionists. And God isn't holding us responsible because it's the government. We're not the nation of Israel. See, God gave this law to his people to be a witness to the world. And he said, you're Israel. You are my special people. These laws are to keep you alive. These laws are to prevent you from experiencing the wrath of God, because I want to keep you as a witness people. If we wanted to be a nation that stuck around, we would adopt these laws. It would be absolutely illegal and a death penalty for somebody to kill a baby. That's what it would have been, and it would have put a fear in us. And how it would have put the fear in us? People would be less promiscuous. If you got killed for abortion, people would be less promiscuous, wouldn't they? There'd be less sexually transmitted diseases. There would be less single parent families. There would be less children that don't have a mother and a dad at home. All these other things that have cost this country billions of dollars. And a complete destruction of our society. So God was giving this good law to tell people, you can't let this come in. You can't let drug dealers come in either. You can't let this happen. And so, if you want to preserve a nation, that's what you do. Well, our nation, we're aliens here. If America wanted to live in peace and harmony with our Creator, then the legislators would have made it illegal. The judges wouldn't have done Roe v. Wade back in 73. But that was the first nail in the coffin in 73. And now we're putting the final nail in the coffin with this bill. Going back to, as it says, during the debate yesterday over the Equality Act, a measure would create a right to kill babies in abortions and force Americans to fund abortions. You and I will be forced to fund. Republicans accuse Democrats of ignoring biblical values, and a surprising comment came from pro-abortion Democrat Jerry Nadler, confirmed that to be true. And he confirmed that to be true. Part of the debate over the pro-abortion measure revolved around sex and gender issues. And Representative Greg Stubbe upset Democrats when he confirmed God makes boys and girls. Pretty radical in the United States Congress for somebody to stand up and have the audacity to call a boy and a girl a girl. And I'm saying all this for, I'm going to get to a punchline here, but do you see how far we've fallen? And God is looking at this. And see, we're going to study the wrath of God coming to this world. And the Bible told us what it's going to be like in the last days when people are just doing this. And they don't have a problem with it. And so we're getting close. So, the gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him. and will inevitably bear the consequences, the congressman said. We are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today. Are we? Is that a true statement? And then he goes on and he says, let me repeat this. I'm going to repeat that line again. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. And I think we are seeing the consequences of rejecting God in our country today. And this bill speaks directly against what is laid out in Scripture. That's when Democrat leader Jerry Nadler, remember him from the Russian collusion, the one who received secret briefings, secret investigations where people in the intelligence community said there is absolutely, we have no evidence of collusion between Trump and the Russians. And that was kept secret. He kept it secret. And then he, okay, that's done. And he would go tell the American people, well, there's lots of evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians. So he doesn't care about God. He doesn't even care about don't bear false witness for his agenda of what he was trying to accomplish. So that's when Democrat leader Jerry Nadler jumped in. Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will has no concern of this Congress. We don't care what your God says. He's going to, he will eternally regret that statement. For all of eternity, he will regret that statement unless he repents and calls upon the name of God. And now, does God look over the affairs of men? He does. Did God hear Nadler say, this country's House of Representatives no longer cares what God says? And we're going to make it so you have to fund abortions. It's got to be on demand. Kids that are young can go get abortions. Transgender people who are gender confused can go get treatment without their parents' permission. See, this will become, it's adding all these sexual deviancies to the, no discrimination against race, religion, color, and now gender confusion. So what will that mean? That'll mean you as a homeschooler, have you properly trained your children to basically say, well, Mom, I don't know if I'm rather a boy or a girl, actually, and I have the total right to decide what I'm going to do. And you say, oh, no. You were born with a Y chromosome.
Wise guys.
Wise guys. Yeah, wise guys. Yeah, I'll remember that. You were born with a Y chromosome. You're a boy. Oh, no, because my teacher told me someplace else, or the government told me that I could be confused and I actually might just want to be a girl. And for us to tell our children the truth is going to be illegal in this country. And my argument is going to look, the next time I talk to a transgender, which I've talked to several of them, it's going to be, look, here's the truth. 100 years from now, when they dig up your bones and they do a DNA test, they're not going to say he's gender confused. He's either a guy, he's going to be a guy. It's going to be scientific proof you're a guy. So, homeschool, churches, are you using this now archaic, hateful book to program people contrary to the law of the state? Are you using this and telling them the truth? Well, then you have to be shut down. You have to be sued by anybody that's offended by what you say. And then they'll turn this into some abortion clinic or somebody else when they take it away in a lawsuit because we haven't been properly acceptance of the gender craziness that's in our country. There's a good ending, though. Jesus sees all this. And what they're basically making it, what's going to happen through this, and again, I'm not optimistic, and let's put it to the test. People are saying there's no way it's going to get through the Senate. There's too many swing state Democrats that would fear for the next election where they'd be ruled out by the people. This is what I think is happening. I think these people are now being told by the powers to be, I don't know that this is true, but it's a possibility. Hey, we just flipped the last election, and they're passing a law to codify corruption in future elections. If that passes, they're going to say to somebody who goes, hey, Nancy Pelosi, really, my district will probably vote me out if I vote for this bill. And Nancy Pelosi can say, if you vote against the caucus, then we'll make sure you don't win, and we'll put another Democrat in charge, and we'll make sure they do win. You're going to lose your job. It's possible that that we're so corrupt that that's happening. So if we see the Senate pass this, and Biden will certainly sign it if they do, then I just, you know, at that moment, I'm not going to listen to somebody say, we're going to turn it in 2022. Trump's going to be back in 2024. We're going to have, you know, no, it's over. It'll be, if this thing gets into law, it is over. And we got to stop wasting energy on trying to use a system that God has allowed to fall into the ash heap because of all the wickedness that has happened in this nation. He is bringing judgment to this country. This country has to go down for us to be part of the 10-nation global empire. And I'll be convinced we're actually living in those days where it's going to happen. Instead of just wondering, because right now we're just wondering, is it now, Lord, or is it going to be 10, 20 years from now before America goes down? It's going to be, this bill is going to be a killer. And do we have hope in turning all this around? Who's our savior? Is it Trump? No. Is it the Republican Party? No. It's Jesus, and he's coming. And when they don't allow us to communicate the truth of the gospel anymore, then to me, he's going to say, they don't listen to you. They don't want you. They're going to stick you in jail as soon as you open your mouth. And they have the technology to completely cancel culture you and shut down everything, shut down your websites, shut down. They don't want you. Phew, I do. And he's going to take us home to be in heaven with Jesus. Everybody here, right? Is there anybody who does not fear God? Don't be shy. But we will gang up on you and say, what are you thinking? You're like pie instead of Bible, you know? You're crazy. Revelation 15:5. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. I want you to turn to Hebrews 8:1. This is really, it goes along with what I've just said. In the Old Testament, for those that aren't familiar with the Old Testament, when Moses was used by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he then was told, I want you to make a tabernacle. Very specific instructions of exactly how that tabernacle was supposed to be made. It had linen courtyard that's surrounded with one door on the east side. You went through that door, you're in a courtyard, then you looked at a tabernacle, a building. A temporary, you know, this is all movable, so it was all made of linen and other things, you know, wood clad with gold that would be picked up, small enough pieces you could pick it up and move at any time. But you go into the tabernacle, and the first thing you do is go into the holy place. And then there would be a veil, you know, 2/3 of the way into the tabernacle, there'd be a veil from ceiling to floor. And on the other side of that was the Holy of Holies, which contained the Ark of the Covenant. And because you guys have probably all watched the movie, you know what that is. And so the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments of God. Now, who wrote the Ten Commandments of God? Who wrote the tablets of the Ten Commandments of God? God did. The very finger of God etched into these stone tablets the very law of God. And in Moses' tabernacle, the tabernacle that Moses was told by God how to build it, they would say the tabernacle of the testimony meant that that's the tabernacle that reflects the nature and character of God as seen in the Ten Commandments. So, Hebrews 8:1, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, he's talking about Jesus. We have a new high priest. We don't need religious priests here on earth. We have a high priest, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So Moses was told by God to make it as an example of what's in heaven. So in heaven, there's also, in a sense, the very law of God sitting at the throne of God. Who is the law of God? Jesus is, he's the word of God. And so in heaven, there's the tabernacle of the testimony, the very character of God's nature. And his character is, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit fornication, you know, doing all the other laws. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. You shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you worship. I mean, on and on, the Ten Commandments, actually 613 commandments, many of them ceremonially fulfilled in Jesus, but the nature of God. Don't move your neighbor's property stake. Don't charge him for a gallon of gas when you actually cheated and it's only 0.9 gallons of gas. All these things, those laws are good. The very nature of God. And we have Nadler saying, we don't care about what God says, and we can cheat and steal and murder and deceive and lie and do anything else that we want to do, because who cares about what he says? Well, we're going to a place where he is the tabernacle. He is the testimony of the tabernacle. Now, we have in this country, so what's the tabernacle of our country? In a sense, the same way, what's the tabernacle of our country? It's in Washington, D.C., and it's called the National Archives. And what do we have in the National Archives? Been there? What do they have in the National Archives? Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, Bill of Rights, sitting there under the glass. These are the foundations of our country, the very nature of how we were put together. Meaningless. Gone. Because of the corruption that humans in this country, because we've decided to go serve Moloch instead of God, that those promises that were given to us by our founding father are meaningless. Is the one in heaven going to change? Is God going to change his mind about his laws and his character and his nature? God's founding documents in heaven by the very nature that he has, and aren't we glad? He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the ones that we've experienced in this country are being forgotten, forsaken, and cast out. And out of the temple came, verse 6, out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chest girded with golden bands. These are seven angels that are going to be bringing the wrath of God down on earth. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Now, we saw the golden bowls in Revelation 5:8, and in 5:8 it said these golden bowls are the prayers of the saints. So, again, why? And we emphasized this back then. Why is God going to ultimately bring wrath to the world? Because his saints have been praying for thousands of years. Thousands of years. God, how long? How long until we can live? How long until you put an end to man's rebellion against you? How long are children going to have to be abused? How long? How long? How long? Yeah. News item this week that a state patrol officer was arrested in a sting operation. How many of you heard about this? Sting operation. What was a sting operation? An undercover cop pretending to be a mom, wanting to sell the uses of her daughter to a state patrol guy. Now, see, why would they do that as a sting operation? Well, it must be because they know that's an epidemic in our society, child abuse. And an epidemic where a parent would even do such a thing, would even sell their children to some stranger for their own, you know, getting some money. Not just prayers of the saints, the tears of the saints. Does God see that? Does he see this guy? Well, yeah, I'll give some money. You know, what's the deal with what I can do? On and on and on. God sees that. And we think we're going to have revival. We think we're going to elect our way out of this problem when we've been so corrupted. And you know what? We have to warn. Our mouths should be, the wrath of God is coming. Here's a Bible. Why do I need it? Because the wrath of God is coming. And you're either going to be a subject to that wrath, or you're going to give your life to Jesus and let the wrath of God that you deserve placed upon his son Jesus, now being afforded you forgiveness as you repent. Verse 8. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. God is long-suffering. He's patient, not desiring that any should perish, but that everybody would repent. But what does it say? But he won't always put up with it. And so now it's time. This time he's not going to put up with it. You know what Leviticus 16:17 says? Which is pertaining to the Day of Atonement. Once a year, the high priest would go into this tabernacle. And once a year, he was allowed to go past the veil into the Holy of Holies and at the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, along with the altar of incense, the prayers of the saints. He would get to the throne of God. He would sacrifice for his own sins, something Jesus didn't have to do. And then sacrifice for the sins of the nation, something Jesus did do. And he goes in there, and the Day of Atonement, he alone is allowed to be in the tabernacle, nobody else, because that day, once a year, in the Jewish Mosaic law, all sin is dealt with. And the people would be waiting outside and say, we've done our own little sin sacrifices and stuff, but everybody's always sinful out there. You know, I did my sin today, but they're sinning. And, you know, and so that one day, it was the high priest doing it for everybody. And when he came out alive, they were all excited. And it was a great day, the Day of Atonement. And in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he, the high priest, goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. Jesus is going to go into that. Jesus is going to be in the tabernacle. He goes, nobody else can be in here. Why? Because he alone is going to be dealing with the wrath coming to this world. Why? To forever, forever get rid of sin on this earth and to make a way for us to have everlasting life. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, when they had done everything, when the Jews had made the tabernacle the way God told Moses to make it, and they're all done, and then they've set it up, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And we saw earlier on the scripture of the cloud of God. The cloud is going to come, and there's going to be judgment. And it's going to be God being done. He got the world down to eight people in the flood when men corrupted themselves universally throughout the world, where the thought and intents of the heart were evil continually, and he had to bring judgment except for eight people. And now we're getting close to that again. The whole world is just wanting to reject his laws and do their own thing. Reading chapter 16, 1 through 16, before we take it verse by verse. And maybe I'll stop before that because I know we're not going to get verse by verse for the whole thing. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth. So the first went out and poured out his bowl on the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, the Antichrist. And his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And they did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to a place called in Hebrew Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. Then I heard the voice saying to the seventh angel, go pour out your bowls of wrath of God on the earth. And while this is happening, just generally, Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, during this whole time, there's going to be earthquakes and pestilence and famines and earthquakes in diverse places. So in the midst of all these specific judgments, there's also cataclysms constantly around the earth that Jesus warned about. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Now, when exactly does this start? The timelines that I passed out say that the trumpet judgments were all in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. And that's clearly, you know, it looks like it starts right at the beginning and it goes for the 3.5 years. But what I'm thinking on the last 3.5 years, which it says they're the bowl judgments, and it happens in the last 3.5 years, but I don't think it starts right at the 3.5. And here's the reason why. Is because right at 3.5 years is when the Antichrist and the false prophet, as the Antichrist becomes possessed of Satan, deceive the world into saying, okay, no more global religion. It's now the religion is worship the Antichrist as God. You have to do that, and you have to take his name in your hand or your forehead, and you have to bow to his image. And if you don't do that, then we're going to cut your head off. You're going to die. And we're going to keep you from buying and selling. Your access to your digi dollars is going to be over, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell a thing. Now, they're not going to be able to do that in one day, right? And now, and here's the thought. It says that the first bowl is going to be poured out, and everybody that took the mark is going to break out in a loathsome sore. Now, if this judgment comes after the first month, and only a certain percentage of the population has received the mark of the beast, and all of a sudden everybody looks around and goes, man, those people that took the mark of the beast, they have now a loathsome sore. What would it make the others do? Make the others say, well, I don't want to get a loathsome sore, so I don't want to take a mark of the beast. But is that what saves you to not take the mark of the beast? That isn't what saves you. I think God is going to wait until everybody decides. I think he's going to wait because the angels are flying. We saw in chapter 14, the first angel giving the everlasting gospel. We see the second angel say, that you should worship God, the creator of the universe. And by the way, Babylon's going down. The Antichrist is going to have his kingdom destroyed. And anybody who takes the mark of the beast, you are going to forever be lost in hell. And so those angels are flying around. Everybody makes their decision, however long it takes. And then when everybody's made their decision, God says, okay, pour the bowl of wrath out, and everybody that made the decision to take the mark of the beast is going to have a loathsome sore. And actually, there will be some people that they're in their bunkers, they're in their, they've hidden away, they had their food, they had their ARs, they had their whatevers, and they're going to be there, and so people will be able to say, how come you don't have any sores? You're going to be caught without a sore. Well, you must not have worshipped the Antichrist, and so they're going to send you. So the stragglers that have been kept, have kept themselves as survivalists away from what's going on, they'll be singled out because they don't have a sore. Compare that to the COVID thing, to the COVID, quote, jab. I'll call it the COVID jab because it's not a vaccine. And, we're starting to see people and not starting, ever since they started giving it, people have been suffering from the effects of the jab. And what's crazy is people still don't wake up. There's over, you know, thousands of people have died or been injured or whatever else. And I just got this email from somebody who's a aide to first responders and said, I just had a call. This is yesterday. I just had a call from a medical clinic reporting a severe reaction, short of breath, chest pressure in a 64-year-old patient who had received the second Pfizer vaccine just an hour or two before. EpiPen was administered because people are going into anaphylactic shock from the COVID vaccine. The interesting thing was that the nurse told me it's been like that all day. Reaction city all day was the quote from the person. I don't know how many calls my peers have gotten, but this week I've seen a ramp up of aid calls with symptoms that are now that are new or unusual to the patients. More than half of them have volunteered that they have been vaccinated with both shots. So if it were, you know, if you get the COVID vaccine or jab, if you get the COVID jab and instantly you broke out with boils and a loathsome sore, how many, I think people would figure it out, no, I don't want to get that. And that's why I'm thinking that God's going to let people decide. Decide based on, am I going to worship a man? And which means I am refusing to listen to an angel of God. I'm going to refuse to worship the Creator. I'm going to refuse to believe the Antichrist kingdom is going down, even though an angel in heaven told me to do it. And I am going to refuse to not take the mark. I'm going to take the mark so I can still download Amazon movies at night. And then God's going to say, oh, really? That's what you think about eternal life. That's what you think is more important than anything, saving your temporary little skin for that. And then the loathsome sores come. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now, Revelation 8:8, which was the second plague of the trumpet judgment, was one-third of the sea died. And now we have the sea died. Now, some people say, well, it just says sea. It doesn't say seas. You know, it's like all the seas. So maybe it's just the Mediterranean Sea or the Gulf of Aqaba or the Red Sea or whatever else. But it could be the global sea. Wouldn't that be something if everything in the oceans died? Then the people that are still alive on the earth would be saying, wow, nothing alive in the oceans. But you know, isn't it cool when Jesus comes back? Poof, he just speaks the word. And all the life is going to come back. All the destruction is going to be over. The miracle of God. This isn't just some red tide. This is a miracle of God. The third bowl, the third trumpet was the waters became bitter. This one is the waters turned to blood. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard an angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to come, who is to be, because you have judged these things. What did he judge? He judged the people that hated God-fearing people so much they killed them. Because they killed your prophets, you're giving them blood to drink. And that's what God did to Pharaoh in Egypt. Exodus 7:24, so all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink because they could not drink the water of the river. You guys have forced my Jewish people to kill and slaughter their babies, and I've heard in heaven the blood of those deaths crying out to me, and I'm going to give you blood to drink. You want to worship your Nile? You want to worship the ability of the, you know, they worshiped all the gods associated with the Nile god and the frog god and the whatever gods, and God and all the plagues of Egypt was showing them they're not real gods. They're demons that have deceived you into rejecting God. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And this, again, is a miracle. It's not explainable. God is going to instantly turn that water into blood. They won't be able to drink it. And go, this is the blood of the saints. This is the blood of the prophets. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Aren't they? Imagine what it'll be like, especially for those that have had the Bible that you sent them and they read it and they're going to realize, wow, you know, that Bible and the thumb drives of explaining Revelation or whatever else. Oh, this is happening, and then this is happening, this is happening. And imagine how people are going to go, truly God, the God of the Bible was right. I should have given my life to him. Because I know what's coming next. The fourth bowl, men are scorched. By the way, in Revelation 8:12, the trumpet, the fourth trumpet judgment, what happened? The sun, a third of the sun, a third of the moon was blocked. And what do you think happened as a result of that? Probably got cold. People cursed people for global cooling. And now God's going to give them global warming. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Well, the ones that have the mark of the beast, they can't repent because they've already sealed their soul in hell. And for the most part, again, if the timing is closer to the end, or, you know, let's say it's a year or two into the last 3.5 years before everybody's made their decision, then really the people have already made their choice and they just rebel. It's just like a kid that, you know, I was rebellious. And my dad disciplined me, and he ramped it up towards the end quite a bit. And yet I had this attitude of, who are you to do this? Okay, I'll stop stealing and sneaking out and stealing this stuff at night. But I'm still going to hate you. And who are you to tell me what to do? And see how tragic that is when people do the same thing. Because he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he's going to come back. And you know what changed? When God got hold of my life, all of a sudden it's like, man, what a fool. I was disobeying God and not honoring my dad, who was a dad not selling me for sex slavery, which you don't have to honor your parents for that, because the Bible was written as the law of God to a Jewish nation, which meant they had a Jewish mother, Jewish father, telling them about the things of God, and you rebel against that, that is the condemnation of thou shalt honor thy father and mother. But when we have a society full of people that are selling their children, then there's no honor of that. So, but my dad was, don't steal. Don't sneak out at night. Don't lie to me. Don't do drugs. Don't smoke. All that was good stuff. And I should have listened to him. But the ones with the mark of the beast can't repent, forever cursed. Now, there was an article that came out February 19th, 2021. Climate Forecast Headline Predictions Over the Decades by Tyler Durden from ZeroHedge.com. You've heard of ZeroHedge.com? This is really a good handout. And because this is right in my generation, when I was a kid, 1974, you know what we were worried about? We're going to freeze. We're going to freeze. Time magazine, another ice age, telling signs everywhere since 1940s means global temperatures have dropped 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. But we were too stupid to listen to them back then, so they said, well, we'll try global warming. So in 2000, the Independent, snowfalls are a thing of the past, until last week, two weeks ago. Our children will not know what snow is, says senior climate researcher. Do you think they're lying to us? 2008, Associated Press, NASA scientist says, we're toast. In 5 to 10 years, so let's give him 10, that's 2018, he's a liar, years, the Arctic will be ice-free. 2008, Al Gore invented the Internet, but should have done a little bit better search of the Internet. Al Gore warns of ice-free Arctic by 2013. Now, why did they need global cooling back then? And by the way, I was so excited on the first Earth Day and went around with my door-to-door, you know, save the planet, give some money. I was so impressed that I didn't steal the money. I actually turned it into the United Nations. I was thinking, you know, I'm a global citizen. But I was there when this whole thing got cooked up. And we're going to save the planet from cooling. It's all about getting a global problem that needs a global solution and a global taxation so that they can spread the wealth, so they can create their global utopia. And that is what the reason for all of this is. Which is another sign of how close we are to the days that Jesus foretold is going to be the case just before he comes back. Then the fourth angel poured his bowl on the sun. Power is given to scorch men with a great heat. And, you know, I would imagine the satellites are going to be scorched too. And so God is going to miraculously shut down the sun in the trumpet judgments for a third. And then he's going to do something that causes the sun, just with coronal mass injections or whatever else are going on, that people are going to be scorched on the earth. And we'll close with the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 21, and we'll close with this. So it seems that this judgment is on Mystery Babylon, the city, or the whole Babylonian system of the world where darkness covers the world. But I think it's the city, the people living in the nerve center of the Antichrist kingdom, where God is going to send a darkness. And the same thing happened in the Egyptian plagues of Exodus. The ninth plague, this is the judgment just before the tenth plague, the loss of the firstborn. This is like the final way of telling the Pharaoh, get right and do what he says. Let the Jewish people go. No, he still stayed hard-hearted and until the death of the firstborn. Exodus 10:21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. Have any of you ever felt darkness? If you go, I use this example because it is the weirdest feeling. Darkness was in the lava tube down by Mount St. Helens. When you go into that lava tube, and they said, you better bring a flashlight that has good batteries and a backup flashlight, because otherwise, if that flashlight goes out and nobody's around there with a flashlight, you're going to be stuck there. You're not going to find your way up. And when we got back there, and we turned our flashlights off, and oh man, it is dark down there, which can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone arise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Miraculous. Now imagine, when you don't have any light, you're blind. I mean, you are blind. God is condemning them by saying, you're blind. Because you rejected the light. You rejected the truth. And when you're in total darkness, and another time, pretty close to total darkness, I was out on the weather deck of my ammunition ship I was on before going to nuclear power school, and it was no light, and I just like, whoa, where am I going? I better just stop being out here on the weather deck, because I could, you know, fall off and get into the netting and stuff on the side of the ship, because you don't know where you're going. We are dead in our trespasses and sin before we see the light of Jesus. The world at this point is full of darkness. He goes, oh, you like darkness? Here's darkness. Because that's where you're headed to, where there's darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because you wanted to serve Satan in the lust of the flesh instead of serving the God who created the heavens and the earth. You listened to the deception. You ate of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, decided that you were going to be the one to decide what's good and evil, and you didn't like God being God because you wanted to be God. And as a result, you'll be with the person who rebelled against God in heaven as an angel. He rebelled and he was cast out because he wanted to be God. And then he deceived the world into getting people to think that they're going to be God. And because you reject the truth, you are given over to a lie. You're given over to darkness. And it becomes the fifth bowl of darkness. And we'll pick it up there next week. Nobody's in darkness, right? You're walking in the light. You love Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing more important. You could die tomorrow, and so what good is the lust of the flesh? If you die tomorrow and then you stand before God without a Savior because you rejected Jesus, nobody wants to be foolish like that, right? Skip the pie, grab the Bible, read it, believe it, trust in Jesus. It lasts longer, and it doesn't rot. Father, we do just thank you for your word. God, you're looking down from heaven right now over the souls of everybody on this planet and the souls of everybody in this room. And Lord, if there is still a wicked way in the heart of anybody here, who refuses or has refused till now to bow their heart to you, to bow their knees in their heart, to just say, God, I know you're God. I'm not God. And I've sinned and rebelled against you, and I want to stop being foolish. If anybody here has just been pondering, they're on the fence, they don't know what to do, that God, you would help them to realize the seriousness of the day. Your judgment is about to come. And the judgment could be at any moment for those who just leave this life for whatever reason. And God, I pray that every single soul in this room would be found washed in the blood of the Lamb today and be ready to be raptured when you call the church home, when the world wants to get rid of us and get rid of our love for you. And you'll oblige them, God, by taking us home. And God, I pray everybody here will be found washed in the blood when that trumpet blast calls them home. And we thank you for this time, Lord, and pray that you would just give us wisdom and to walk in these perilous times until you do take us. And we thank you for ministering to our souls and saving us from the sickness of sin to give us life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up, up into heaven, and he shall lift you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up, up into heaven, and he shall lift you up. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up, up into heaven, and he shall lift you up. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
He is. Amen. He is awesome. He's righteous. He's just. And he's coming. And everybody that loves him and recognizes he's an awesome God and loves his ways is going to be joined with him. And again, if you're not there and you want to talk, come up and we'll talk and pray together. It's now is the time to get saved if you haven't bowed the knee. God bless you, keeping you in his care until we can fellowship again.